أهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان. أهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان.
The day of books. And I cannot stress how important our participation in that gathering was, because when you look at what our leaders have to say about this day in particular, this day, this International Day of Quds, it is unbelievable. Okay? Our participation, let's not think that, I mean, we've already passed this day, so we're probably talking about next year, but our participation in an event like that, it definitely has its own effect. Every single move that our enemies make around the world, okay, they are monitoring our reaction. And if our reaction is the right reaction, next time they're going to take into consideration what they're doing. They're just not going to give themselves that, that they're not going to have the audacity to just do whatever they want if they see that the reaction is the right reaction. So we really need to pay attention and understand that our reaction is being counted, it's being factored in. So that's from a social point of view. Religious point of view, out of all the acts that we've done throughout this month, brothers and sisters, when we come here, we pray, we cry for our imam, we do all these great things, you can be sure that the greatest of all was what we did yesterday. Why? Because what good a religion is it if it's just praying and fasting and not having to do with what's going on in the world? Okay, it doesn't matter what religion you follow. If that's the religion you follow, it's no good. You can have that religion to yourself. If you're just a normal, average American going to work, coming back, doing some prayer and fast at home, and that's it. Okay, so we need to understand that if that's all our religion has to offer, that it's just, if we're just going to take that part of the religion itself and ignore the other parts of the religion, believe me, I will be the first one to no longer be part of this or that religion. Because if we take parts and pieces of Islam and then leave aside other parts, what we're going to get is not Islam. What we're going to get is something terrible. Okay, it's going to have the opposite effect of being a good Muslim. If you practice only bits and pieces, this part or that part of your religion, you're not doing 50% of the religion. You're doing none of the religion. Why? Because when you do 50% of it and you ignore the other 50%, the effect that it makes, the impression that you make, is not a good impression. Okay? Take, for example, a person who comes and prays and, does this part of the religion. He comes and prays, but ignores other parts of the religion, which is what? Watching out for his fellow believers. Watching out for his brothers, his sisters. Think of the effect that's going to have if someone was to look into his personal life and see that this is an individual, he's a religious quote-unquote individual. He's an individual that prays and fasts, but when it comes to talking about others, he backbites about others. What kind of effect is that going to have? You're not doing 50% of the religion, and I'm not doing 50% of the religion when I'm doing that. I'm harming the religion when I do that. I'm harming the religion when I take a part of the religion and then ignore the rest of the religion. So as Muslims, our struggle is to practice the religion as a whole. And a great part of our religion is the social aspect of it. So for us to come here and simply do our prayers and fast and just that, that's good, but that's only part of it. And if our religion was a religion that said, listen, just do your prayers and the rest doesn't really matter, I would be the first one to walk away from this religion. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fine with you praying and fasting and just that, and He doesn't care about the plight of other individuals, the pain and the agony they're going through, then that's definitely not a religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's some made-up religion that we have come up with. So, those of us who feel like we're just going to stick to what be an average American and I'm a Muslim, I'm an American Muslim. right? An American Muslim, obviously that term can be explained in many different ways, okay? But if it's meant in this way, it's going to be wrong. In the way that I just submit to the American way of life, I submit to what my society wants from me, and yes, when it comes to my personal life, I'll do my own stuff. I'll do my prayer. I'll do my fast. I won't eat. I'll do my imsak. If that's what we mean by being American Muslim, that's totally wrong. And that is not, it's definitely not part of Islam. That's just one thing I wanted to mention about yesterday, that we understand that the rest of deeds that we do, if it's not, if these fundamental principles of our religion are not there in our acts, what fundamental principles? The principle of standing up against oppression, if that's not there, our deeds are going to do very, very, very little good for us. Not just in this world, in the hereafter as well. Please recite the salawat. Okay, now today I was going to talk about an interesting topic, and it's a controversial topic, and it's a topic that quite frankly us Shias don't really know about, even though it's something that we as Shias claim to be true. As Shias, this is one of those fundamental concepts of our religion, of our school of thought at least, okay? And that is the concept of shafa'at, intercession. Now to engage in this discussion, we need to understand that shafa'at or intercession is something that other schools of thought or sometimes other religions also suggest. Right? Christianity has a very similar thing. When they say, okay, you can do what you want as long as you let Jesus into your life and He will save you. Okay, He's gone through the sacrifice for you. Or, for example, the Arabs back in the day, when the Prophet came to them, the Arabs did not believe that the idols were God, even though that's what we think about them. That's not what they believed. What they believed was that these idols have a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they will be their shufa'a on the day of judgment. In other words, we worship the idols so that the idols will carry out that intercession with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ الزُّلْفَى. We worship them, لِيُقَرِّبُونَ. It comes from قُرْبَت, right? قُرْبَت, we all know, that means what? Closeness. We worship these idols, why? لِيُقَرِّبُونَ. So that they take us closer, إِلَى اللَّهِ, to Allah, زُلْفَى, to we reach a close proximity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So take a look at their belief system. They said that these aren't our gods. There's one God, but we worship them to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, this wasn't the belief of all of them, but a group of them, this is what they believe. That's why it's mentioned in the Quran. Now, the question that we should be asking ourselves is that if we come here and we cry and mourn for these names that we have all around the center, and rightfully so, we should have them around the center, what is the difference between us and them? If the Prophet came and, so to speak, hammered this ideology of you going to these quote-unquote shufa'a, then why is it such a firm belief of us Shias that if we are able to mourn and cry for the Imams, they will be our shafa'a. If we are able to love the Ahlul Bayt, they will be our shafa'a on the Day of Judgment. What's the difference? That's one question that not only we have to ask ourselves, but others will ask us. That's one question. Another question. Shafa'at, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly wants us to be good people, then why has He put shafa'at there if it's going to make us more lazy? If shafa'at is going to tell you, listen, you do what you do, the rest we will take care of. If that's the case, then that's just going to make us more lazy. Then why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this whole religion? He gave up His greatest servants for it, right? He gave up His Imam al-Hussein for it. He gave up the children of Imam al-Hussein for it. They were slaughtered. They were sacrificed. There was a massacre for this religion, for this prayer that we pray, for the fasting that we do, for these ahkam to remain. If that was the case, then why did he do all of that? If at the end of the day, he's going to say, listen, you, if you did it, it's okay. If you didn't do it, it's fine. There's shafa'at. He'll take care of it. So the next question we need to answer is shafa'at there to make us lazier, or is it there to make us do more work? The way most Shias, I would say, see it, and furthermore, other schools of thought see it, is that shafa'at is something that is just making us more lazy. Shafa'at is there, you do whatever you want to do, and then at the end of the day, you say, well, I believed in these individuals, they'll take care of it. Okay, so these are serious questions that we need to answer. And if we answer these, then we can understand the limits that we have when it comes to the Ahlul Bayt. What limits do we mean? Is that although we love these individuals, it still means that we need to do work. We need to work on ourselves. Now, there are, if you take a look at Shahid Mutahhari's book, he has a book on divine justice. Okay, and I wouldn't suggest that the brothers just pick up that book. Why? Because you have to have gone through at least basic logic and philosophy to pick up that book. Okay, it's a difficult book. But he has a section at the end which has to do with intercession. And when he goes through that section, he opens things up very nicely. Okay, he sheds much light on this concept that we have. Because it's a fundamental concept when it comes to our school of thought. Any dua we do here during the night, at the end it says what? فَاشْفَعُوا لِي عِنْدَ اللَّهِ Do shafa'at for me. وَاسْتَنْغِذُونِي مِنْ ذُنُوبِي And save me from my sins. This is something we all believe in. We need to understand how it works and why we believe in it and how it's different from other ideologies out there. So, when he goes through that section, the section of intercession in that book, you can take a look at that. That part is a good part that anyone can take a look at. It's not that difficult. And he mentions up to 8 questions and issues that other people have with shafa'at. Okay, and we're just going to go through 3 tonight. First of all, first and foremost, and this is a question that we all come across, okay? It's the Day of Judgment, right? And they are doing our hisab, right? They are counting our good deeds and our bad deeds, and all of that is going down. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen, this individual, he was a bad person, he did these sins, Brother Ali, he did these sins, he has to go to hellfire. And this is how we see shafa'at. He has to go to hellfire, right? And then, all of a sudden, what happens? Imam al-Hussein comes out and saves the day, right? All of a sudden, Imam Hussein is like, no, I'll save the day and he can go to heaven. That's how we see shafa'at. Now, what's the problem with that? How on earth has Imam Hussein become more kind than God himself? That's the problem we have. How is it that Imam Hussein, which is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of a sudden become more kind and friendly and beneficent than God himself? Right? How is it that Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas has... Because you all know that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kindness, the beneficence, the compassionate, the compassion that we see in this world, it all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we see in our imams, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we believe. Okay, they're not getting it from anywhere else. They're getting it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my question is, how is it that all of a sudden they have more than the source they got it from? Right? It's like going somewhere and your dad can't afford something. Right? Your dad can't afford the car, and all of a sudden the 15-year-old kid is like, that's all right, I'll buy it for you. You know? How does that work? That's the first question we need to answer. It's the most fundamental question we need to answer. What is the answer to that question?
The answer to that question is that that thought and that question only comes up if we differentiate between the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of the Ahlul Bayt. If we differentiate between these two, then there's an issue. But if we understand that the mercy of the Ahlul Bayt is nothing but the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the problem is solved. The mercy of the Ahlul Bayt is nothing but the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, listen, I have this mercy. If you want my mercy to be there for you, you go through these individuals. You go through these individuals. It's only a matter of channeling it. These individuals are simply a what? A channel. Therefore, when Imam Hussein says, oh Allah, please save this individual, it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not doing it on his own. It's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for certain reasons, has said, listen, if you want that mercy, you go through him. You go through this individual. You go through this family. So we cannot differentiate between the love and the mercy of the mercy of the Ahlul Bayt, their shafa'at, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're the same thing. It's only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you want my mercy, you go through these individuals. The same way, if you go to a school, right, and the principal is going to pay you as a teacher, right, and then you go to the accountant, you get the money from the accountant, no one says you got the money from the accountant. Right? The principal says, if you want money from the school, where do you go? You go to the accountant. It's only a matter of channeling things. He's simply a channel. Therefore, we do not differentiate between the money of the school and the accountant. No one says, oh, the accountant gave me money. No, the school gave you money. It was the accountant that handed you the money. Okay? So let's not differentiate between the mercy of the Ahlul Bayt and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There does lie a question of why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that in the first place? Why didn't He just say, okay, listen, you want my forgiveness, you want my mercy, just come to me. Don't go after these individuals, just come to me. There's a reason for that as well. There's a purpose behind that as well. But to carry on with our discussion pertaining to intercession, first point, we cannot differentiate between these two because all of a sudden, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to become more compassionate than Himself. And that's definitely false. So that's the first thing. Second point we need to pay attention to when it comes to intercession, what we firmly believe in and we rightfully and we should believe in. Second issue, what is the difference between shafa'at and having favorites? This is how a lot of schools of thought see it. Say, listen, the Shia are our favorites. The Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet, Allah is saying, oh, the Shias, they're our favorites. So they do whatever they do, we'll forgive them. How is shafa'at different from having favorites? Let's get into the concept of having favorites and then we'll understand how it's different, right? For example, if I need something from the principal of the school, right? If I need something from the principal of the school, I need to be a favorite of his to get it out of him. Okay? So how am I possibly a favorite of this principal? Either I'm rich, I'm wealthy, right? I'm influential. That might be one thing. Where I can take care of other things for the principal, and he'll take care of this for me, right? I'm an influential individual. That's one way I can be a favorite. Another way is I can be relatives with him. In certain cultures, that's very prevalent, where if you're relatives, you're good. You're good to go. I can be relatives with him. I can be, I don't know, in some, I can be a good-looking person, be a favorite. You know, all these different things that would probably possibly make me a favorite. While on the other hand, if another individual isn't wealthy, if he doesn't have that influence, if he's not a relative of the principal, he won't get the welcoming that I'm getting. Okay. But bear in mind that all of these things that make one person a favorite are things that other people cannot do. Right? I came from a poor family, for example. Right? If I came from a poor family and the other person is wealthy, what am I going to do? Right? He's wealthy, he's the principal's favorite. He's influential, he has that social position. I don't have that social position. What can I do? I can't do anything. It's not like overnight I can all of a sudden have a social position for myself. These are things that I cannot attain. At least not now. At the least we can say is that it takes years for you to attain something like that. Right? Being relatives with him. It's not something you can attain. Okay. But now when we look into shafa'at, brothers and sisters, and you look into the conditions of shafa'at, the conditions of shafa'at are things that everyone can do. They are not things that only certain and specific individuals can do. You do not have to be a relative of the imam. Right? Last night, we went upstairs for this puppet show that they were doing. And the puppet show was... Actually, the puppet show wasn't about it, but they were talking about Surah Lahab. Right? And Abu Lahab, the main character of the surah, was the uncle of the Prophet. Right? The uncle of the Prophet, there's a surah about him telling him what terrible of a person he is. So it doesn't really have to... So when it comes to shafa'at, you don't have to be related to the imam. You have to do your prayer. That's something everyone can do. You don't have to be influential. You don't have to be an influential figure. Right? You have to go according, act according to your beliefs. So it's something that everyone can do. Whereas... if you're a favorite, when it comes to favoritism, if that's an ism now, when it comes to having favorites, it's something that other people can't do. I'm not an influential individual. How can I? I don't have that social position. Right? So there's once again a huge difference between intercession, the shafa'at of our imams, and the having favorites. Third point. And we'll conclude, inshallah, because today, specifically, it looks like the brothers are very tired. Okay? I don't know about the sisters, because we have the curtain, but the brothers are very, very tired. Okay? Today was Saturday, right? Today was Saturday, so I don't know why the brothers are so tired. The quds is still sore from yesterday, probably. But please recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala. Sometimes when you sleep more, the more you get tired. So maybe it's that. Third point about shafa'at. Okay? Third point about shafa'at and intercession is that when you look into the Quran, there's so many verses in the Quran that say there is no such a thing. When you look in the Quran, there's so many verses in the Quran that say, يَوْمَ إِذِنْ لَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةِ. Do not count on someone else coming and taking care of your issues on the Day of Judgment. Right? You should do your work now. So many verses in the Quran. So all of a sudden we have a contradiction. Verses in the Quran saying that there is no such a thing. And from what we would know of Allah's justice, that's what we would conclude. What we would conclude is, it wouldn't make sense for us to do whatever we want and then have someone else come and take care of it. That's just not compatible with the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other verses of the Quran, however, say that some shafa'ats are accepted, right? The ayatul kursi that we do, right? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. So, there's a difference. Now, what is that difference between the shafa'at that the Prophet was telling the Arabs, listen, these idols will not do your shafa'at. What's the difference between that shafa'at and the shafa'at that we believe in? Okay? The reason why we're going over these brothers and sisters is because if we do not believe, if we do not know why we believe what we believe in, we're not going to be firm when it comes to believing it. We're not going to be proud of it. We're going to try to hide it. Okay, but if you know why you believe in what you believe, then you're going to be proud of it. You're going to put it out there. You're going to say, yes, shafa'at, we do believe it. It's a firm belief of ours. And it in not in any way does it contradict the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you know the differences, okay? That's why we're going over this. What's the difference between the shafa'at that the Prophet was so severely negating when it came to the Arabs, and then all of a sudden, someone might see it this way, all of a sudden when it came to his own family, all of a sudden he said, oh no, there is such a thing as shafa'at. There is such a thing as intercession. We have two terms. They call it the shafa'at that the Arabs believed in back then. The Arabs believed in was called shafa'at batil, a false shafa'at, a false intercession. While as the shafa'at we believe in is shafa'at haqq, a true intercession. But now what is the difference? We're not here to just play with terms. So, oh, that's shafa'at batil, this is shafa'at haqq, okay, problem is solved. No, there's a huge difference. The difference is that in a shafa'at batil, the relationship and this intercession starts from the lower level. The lower level. What do we mean by that? I'm a person, I need something, we're going to go back to the example of the principal, okay? I'm a person, I need something out of the principal. I need the principal to give my child good grades. Okay? I'm at the very low level, I have a request. Then there's an individual who is close with the principal. He is at a higher level. He's closer with the principal. He's a favorite of the principal. And then we have the principal. Okay, so we have three levels. Me at the very lowest level because I have the request, right? Another individual who's close to the principal who's going to help me get that request, and the principal himself. In a fake shafa'at, in a false shafa'at, the relationship starts from where? From the bottom. What does that mean? Because I want something out of the principal, I go to the guy that's close to the principal, and he takes care of it. I ask him, I said, listen, you have coffee with the principal, you take care of this for me. So who initiated the relationship? It was me. It was the lowest level. It was the person who had that request to begin with. Right? Okay. This is shafa'at batil. Now what is shafa'at haqq? It's the other way around. It's the principal himself, the person at the highest level in this relationship that says, listen, if you want this request, you go through this individual. Is that clear? So in a true shafa'at, the relationship starts from where? It starts from the top, not from the bottom. What the Arabs were doing, they were just choosing individuals and saying, okay, I'm doing whatever I'm doing in my life. I'm doing sins. I need someone to forgive me. I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. Okay, let me initiate this relationship of intercession. He himself would go say, okay, this idol, he's going to carry out intercession from me. Well, has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to go to that idol? No, he hasn't told me. But I'm just assuming that his intercession will be accepted. That's a shafa'at batil. It's false. Why? Because the relationship starts from the bottom. But in a true shafa'at, the relationship starts from the top. It is the principal himself who says, listen, if you want this request of yours granted, go through this individual. Ask this individual to ask me. Now, the huge question is, why on earth would the principal do that? If he is so merciful and kind and compassionate, why not just grant our request right there? That has its own reason, which we will get to later on. There are a number of reasons for that, but we need to understand that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself who is telling you to go through these individuals. There's one person, I have 30 seconds, there was one person who he had made a number of sins and he started doing tawbah. And he tied himself up in the masjid of the Prophet to the tree, one of the trees that was in the masjid. And after many days, there was a revelation that your tawbah has been accepted. What the Prophet told him, he said, if you had asked me to ask Allah for your forgiveness, you would have been forgiven a lot earlier than this. You wouldn't have had to wait for so long. So we have to go through these individuals. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us understand our religion more and more, inshallah. And we also pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hastens the return of our 12th Imam al-Mahdi, inshallah. Please recite Allah's salawat. Allah.
اللهم صل على محمد.